Boom. What is up? Welcome back to another episode of the FPL Draft Your Podcast with myself, Nolesy, and my co-host, Jaxi. As always, we're hoping you're keeping well and got that W in the draft this week.
Just a few points to note on game week 28. Although we do have one more game left to save quite an underwhelming double game week, we did see some surprised Forest rotation along with the standard Brighton rotation. Spurs can't stop scoring, with Ange Postecoglou's team scoring in every single game this season. And lastly, Garnacho, he has been a driving force in United's season. Will he push them to European football this season?
Just a little plug for a competition that's currently running on our social media. So we've teamed up with a vintage shop in Perth that does vintage clothes but also retro jerseys. It's called First Street, and we have a competition running, as I said. How you enter is like, follow, all that crack. Go on to our Instagram or our Twitter. Very easy. Twitter, reshare and like, and be in with a chance of winning a shirt of your choice. If you go onto our Instagram, you can get the link to that the page. And some of the jerseys are unbelievable, one of a kind. And I think it's game week 30. Yep. Game week 30 deadline, we will be picking a winner. So to enter, free entry, just go on, like, follow and share the page.
There were some sick jerseys. Which was the one you were saying? Was it the United kit that had
the United 92-93 third kit with a lime green stripe through it. I hadn't seen it before. If you win, maybe you want to pick that one. If you're a Liverpool jersey, I've seen an unbelievable retro one that was put up today. Every Thursday they have new drops, so there will definitely be something for you or for someone you know.
Boom. Let's get straight into the pod. So we'll start off with the questions. These were sent in on Instagram and Twitter, so if you have any questions, do send them in every Tuesday. First one, as we said, a bit of rotation going on with Nottingham Forest. Should I stick with Awoni or should I drop him for Timo Werner?
Yeah, Awoni dropped this week, surprisingly. Wood and Origi started, but I would still stick with Awoni. A common theme of today's podcast is, I suppose, teams from now to the end of the season. Because we're closing in on the last, 10 games, if you pick up someone now, you have the possibility of keeping them to the end of the season. And we know Forest are actually top of the fixture ticker from now until then. So even if you were surprised by that Awoni rotation, I think he plays more minutes, and it's going to be a toss-up between points for him and Werner, just because Spurs score so much, as we said. But I'd still want Awoni, so I would stick with Awoni just because I expect him to get back in that team and start consistently, and I'd rather have a starting striker that I know most of the time will start over Werner, who will be good in stints, but we just don't know if he's going to start. I'm presuming he's not going to start consistently.
Yeah. With Richarlison coming back from injury in the next couple of weeks, and Johnson actually got the start over Werner in game week 28. So I suppose with those two factors, Awoni's talent and what he can do and his ceiling, I think he is still a stick.
And we're probably going to see Stan stay up top. If Werner plays, he'll probably be on the wing, as we have seen previously. So Awoni as an out-and-out striker, I think we're going to go for the big man.
And Chris Wood played the full 90 minutes as well, so I think that's why there is some concerns. Chris Wood played the full game, but I think that was maybe just a bit of rotation going on with Forest, because the likes of Callum Hudson-Odoi and Elanga didn't start, who have been playing very well for Forest. So I think it was just a case of resting for the week.
Yeah.
Next question. What to do with Robbo?
Robbo is a tough one because Gomez started and has been playing well this season. I would just not be too keen on getting rid of Robinson very quickly. Another thing we're going to look at is teams that are hot, teams that are good teams that have good fixtures from now until the end of the season. And Liverpool are one of those. So I wouldn't be in a hurry to get rid of Robbo. I actually, just because he's undervalued, I wouldn't mind getting him in a trade. If you're not getting rid of someone too good. But Robbo, I'd just give another week, because I find it hard that he will stay out of the team from now until the end of the season. So I'd probably stick with Robbo, give it another week. Again, with them defenders that have high up ceilings, it's always worth keeping one more week just to see. If he doesn't start the next game, then you have, or it's justified to get rid or look elsewhere.
Yeah, I know I'm no Pep Guardiola or Jurgen Klopp, but I was thinking that possibly it was a tactical decision to play Joe Gomez ahead of Rabo at the weekend, and hopefully Rabo does get into the team over the next few weeks. But yeah, I think I'll be monitoring Rabo's performances, not just him starting, but his, I suppose, attacking returns as well, because we do know, is he the most assists?
Premier League history.
Most assists for a defender in the Premier League. So yeah, that's the type
that
of
player. That can't be overlooked.
That's the player we're looking at. Question three. Replace Reguilón this week. Will he play?
No, I wouldn't replace him. We'll talk about Reguilón and Roslev in the waiver section, but Reguilón, the manager said that, Thomas Frank said that he should be good for Burnley, so it would be disappointing to get rid of him and him play. And even if he doesn't play for Burnley, I think his positioning and the fixtures that they have for a section of, from now to the end of the season, 33 to 37, I think he's worth to keep. So yeah, he should be fit, I would be keeping, and I'd be excited if you have him.
Question four. Best Fulham midfielder assets.
I think there's only really two options here, although there may look like there's loads on the waiver and a lot of them might be free. I think it's the same thing with the Brighton midfielders and Brighton players. Because they're readily available, we always think, oh, they're going to be great assets, or we're looking at them. But for me, the only two Fulham defenders that you can count on for Game Week 29 are number one, Iwobi, and number two, Andres Pereira. All the other options are Wilson, Willian, De Cordova Reid. Who else am I missing out? Missing one there.
Tom Kearney. Lukic.
Polina. All them. The Polina is the Lukic. The Reid.
Tom Kearney as well.
They're too much. They're either too deep or too big of rotation risks. The only other options are Willian and De Cordova Reid. Traore is now getting game time. So there's too many options. And although Wilson might seem like a great pick as well, and he was the last game we could have easily returned, I can easily see him getting benched. Not saying he will, I'm just saying that if you have him, don't be surprised either. I think apart from Andres and Iwobi, they're the only two that I can nearly be confident that they will be starting. There's too many other options. They're playing Spurs, they might want to change tactics and have quick runners in behind rather than maybe a Wilson who's not the quickest. So I think it's just Iwobi and Andres. The rest of them could return, and if you really, really want a 29 game week player, you could take a punt on one of them and hope that they start, but they could easily be a one pointer. So I'd probably look to the waivers, which we're going to talk about, for players that are more nailed down, and even if it's only a two pointer over a one pointer, that might be the difference in game week 29.
Yeah, just on those Fulham assets, because Van de Ven is now out injured, there isn't any update on it. He did say that it will be getting assessed. He said himself that it doesn't feel as bad as the previous injury. But with him being out, Spurs defence, as we've seen when they don't have him, it's definitely not as strong. But I suppose we'll be monitoring Dragosin in the upcoming game weeks. Next question. So another injury concern is Neto. So this person is concerned who he could trade for Neto.
And this is just like the Van de Ven injury. Eze, Olise, it is one of the most common themes this year. Hamstring injuries, or reoccurring hamstring injuries. Neto is out again, and Gary O'Neill was confident that he was okay. The scan came up that there was no injury, and he just did it again. So, unfortunately, I don't think you're going to get too much for Neto, because obviously you have that concern. If I was looking to trade for Neto, the only player I'd give away is someone that I might be putting on the waiver, because I'd probably be, you know, waiting a week or two for Neto to come back. So any decent trade for Neto would be a player that's not consistently on the waiver. And it's unfortunate that's the case. But currently, for game week 29 onwards, that's where he's at. In a couple of game weeks' time, it might change. But for now, I think if you pick up even a Iwobi, that'd be a savage trade, I think. Any player that's consistently playing, or will be playing in game week 29 that you're confident will get you a decent amount of points in game week 29, like a Ward-Prowse, even a Suchek, might not start. Mm-hmm. Anyone that you think is not waiver options, because Neto unfortunately has very low trade value currently.
Yeah, the only saving grace, I suppose, for Neto is so many teams are blanking this week and there is international break coming up as well. So I suppose I don't think his valuation from this week to next week is going to change too much depending on the injury, mm-hmm. the news that we get from the injury. So if you did hold him,
yeah, you get a more confident update. You get a more accurate update as to when he actually will be back. So yeah, maybe a hold is probably the best option there, unless you're really sick of him and you don't get a trade across the line and you want to waiver him out for one of the decent midfielders that we're going to talk about that you might have long term that might be a bit more stable. Because if we looked at a graph of Neto's trade value this year, it would be crazy. It would be seriously high at some points and then nothing at other points.
So yeah, I suppose wait for news, but if you really want to get rid of him,
any playing midfielder.
Yeah. Next question is coming from Mark Phillips, a Ballyhornis man and a big draft fanatic. I have four players. Should I take the L, or should I and prepare for game week 30, or should I? What should I do with my team?
Mark Phillips, if you're playing me, take the L. But I don't think you are. Just a quick update, because we've kind of segued into that. The T12. A lot of the people that listen might be involved in the T12. If you're not, the T12 is a progressive, collaborative draft league with 144 players currently in it. Players all over the world. Promotion and relegation take place. It's split into two half seasons, and if you want more information on it or how to join it, look on our Instagram. I think it's on one of the pinned tweets or one of the pinned posts that it shows you all the promotion relegation. So we're constantly looking for players to even increase that bigger and bigger every year. Inevitably, people are going to drop out. So myself and Mark are in League One. League One in the top tier is the top league. There's 12 leagues and it goes from 1 to 6 in the top league in the Premier League and 1 to 6 in the championship. So myself and Mark are fighting out for the title of the winner of the T12, which hopefully will be in years to come a very illustrious crown to hold. It'll be like hitting a top 10k or a top 5k in normal FPL. So myself and Mark are in it. If I was you, Mark, I would probably try and get maybe one or two more players in. If you have a couple of players that are waiver options that you're looking at the fixtures over the next couple of game weeks and, you know, not too exciting that you might waiver in a week or two anyways, maybe you want to look at our waiver selection that we're going to talk about. And those are players that might play in 29 and beyond. So I think four players is just on the cusp of maybe adding one or two more. If you're any less than four, I don't think I'd risk it. If you're up on four or five players, it's a toss of a coin. If you're like six players or seven players, you're probably favorite, okay, depending on who you're playing. So I'd probably maybe try and add one or two more players before taking the L, because you never know. And the player you're playing just might not return at all. And you might only be 3 or 4 points behind him, and you'll regret not getting in one of those waivers. So there is some waivers in the waiver section that could be good game week 29 punts and beyond. So they're kind of hitting two birds at one stone, because you are adding players in and preparing at the same time. So four players, we did a podcast maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago about preparing for this. I think if you're around five or six, you're steady enough. If you're 7, 8 plus, you're in a great position. If you're any less than four is kind of the cusp, then it's up to you. Then it's up to you deciding, are these players good enough to get in for whoever I have on the bench? And if they're not, maybe run it with four players and just hope for the best. But personally, if I had four, I'd probably add two more in and take my chances.
Depends who your four are. Like imagine
very
you
much
had
so.
Son, Tony, and maybe a Douglas Luiz or a Bowen. You could win the game week just to have 3-4 players.
Yes, yeah.
They've had ceilings of 14, 15 pointers in the past. So you could get it. You could get a win. I reckon if you got 30 points in game week 29.
You're winning. Yeah.
So yeah.
Bingo.
Shout out to Mark Phillips. Next question. Should I hold on to Kudus or sell for Brennan Johnson?
Both of them play 29. So, you know, there's no real winner there yet. Kudus is nailed down. So 1-0 to Kudus. Yeah. Kudus has 6 goals, 6 assists. And although Johnson is a great option from the bench, 2 8-pointers in his last 2 game weeks, not necessarily guaranteed to start next week. I still think he will. If I had to pick a team, I think he'd probably get in with a shout. But Kudus, as I said, 6 goals, 6 assists this year. West Ham, decent fixtures to the end. They are in Europe, so you never know. That might affect them compared to Spurs. But I'd still go for Kudus every day of the week. I think Kudus, from now to the end of the season, will score more points. I know you might be thinking short-term there. He's done very well over the last 2 game weeks. But I think from now to game week 38, Kudo scores more points. So that's just how we're going to go.
Yeah, and I do think, I've mentioned it last week, since Paqueta has come back into the squad, West Ham have picked up a bit of form again. I know they went 2-0 down against Burnley at the weekend, but they do look like a different team with Paqueta there. So that will
tip it in his favour.
Sweet. Moving on to my dilemma. So currently, for game week 29, I have 9 starters.
This is Jaxi we're on about. This is your own team.
This is my own team.
Yeah.
I have 9 players starting currently, which is solid.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if I should add in Brennan Johnson for Sarabia, who isn't actually playing in 29, so I'd only have 8 players. Or should I add Johnson in for Harry Wilson of Fulham, who is playing?
Okay, what would I do? Who would I pick out of those two? I would probably pick Johnson and Sarabia. Johnson plays 29, Sarabia does not. So I'd pick Johnson as a little punt. I'd keep Johnson if you have him. And I'd like to add Sarabia, because Sarabia is going to be nailed down for the rest of the season. Wilson, nice little pickup for the next 4 game weeks, actually. Not bad. There's not much in it here. But again, I'm just slightly worried about Wilson's minutes in terms of him starting. And as we know, Johnson doesn't need to start to return. So I think Sarabia as a solid pick, and Johnson as not a punt, because he's a bit better than a punt, but someone who has a high upside even if not starting. I think even if Wilson gets 90 minutes every day and Johnson gets 30, I'd probably rather Johnson.
Yeah. Now the look of it, yeah, I'd have 9 players still if I get rid of Harry Wilson.
There you go. 9 players for game week 29 is unbelievable. I think I'm going to feel the full 11. Which is a bit ridiculous. It's probably a bit overkill. But that depends on Minji's injury. So yeah, I'd probably stick with Johnson. I'd go with Sarabia over Wilson. And with 9 players, you'd be confident going into game week 29.
The last bit of an asterisk on that question is I also have Anthony Gordon, who came off injured. So that is something that I will have to look into myself, just to see how bad the injury is.
Yeah, wait a couple of weeks.
Yeah, because Gordon,
he's too good to waiver. You're not going to have high trade value for him. For Gordon owners, it is unfortunate. He keeps getting these injuries, but
yeah,
wait and see. As you said, we have a bit of time. Blank game week, FA Cup this weekend. So if your team's not playing, I'd be hesitant with trades and transfers, especially if they're injured.
International break coming up as well.
Bingo, after game week 29, isn't it? So
yeah. So Johnson's coming into my team.
There you go.
For Harry Wilson. Harry Wilson getting the boot.
Boot. Last question is a dilemma from my team. And I suppose it's not a dilemma because I know what I'm going to do, I think. But maybe you have the same, I don't know, same question. Tavernier, again, has not returned yet. And I think regardless if he returns or not, I'm going to waiver him out after game week 29. Because he's one of those players that, just because of fixtures, I'm keeping him. And I'm passing up one or two players on the waiver that they mightn't seem like the most solid picks or whatever, but I see them playing and some of them have returned, and I'm just kicking myself that I put so much effort into Tavernier. And he could go out.
Bournemouth don't play in 29, man.
Or after 28, sorry, is what I meant. Yeah, after 28. So I'll be getting in someone for him after this game week. I'll be getting rid of him. I'll be getting an extra player on my team. Hopefully fielding 11 players. And I don't care about Tavernier's next 3 fixtures. Because, again, fixtures are not the be-all and end-all. We look at fixtures, we look at stats, and we look at the eye test. And he's only passing, currently, for me, fixtures. Eye test, decent, okay, nothing major. And statistics, not racking up enough XGI for me. So Tavernier, and maybe you want to do this as well, probably, you know, bite me in the foot, but anyways, Tavernier is going after game week 28. Once that double is done, I'm done with hoarding double game week players, because we've seen it again and again and again. Look great on paper. After one game week, Luton and Bournemouth, you have 5 players and you have like 3 points. So it's just another lesson that we've learned throughout this year. Double game week players are not the be all and end all. If you had a Spurs defender, they got a 6 pointer, and you could have had 3 Bournemouth defenders and got no points. So if you have a good, decent defender, don't be in too much of a hurry to get rid of them just because they have an extra fixture. That extra fixture you know, might leave more time for them to concede goals, as we have seen. So, even if Tavernier scores a hat-trick, I think I'd be trading him if that's the case, but he will be gone out of my team.
Yeah, I think even with normal fantasy football, you see all the other FPL content creators just honing in on Tavernier just because of the double game week. And because, when was the last time he returned? Good few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But he played well in those couple of games and hasn't done that since, so you could be fixated on, oh, he played well in those few weeks. But he's not. Not a pick going forward.
Not a pick, not shtick.
Yeah, so he'll be getting the boot.
He'll be getting the boot, unfortunately. I know he has three good fixtures. If anyone wants him, if anyone's in League One T12, he's up for sale.
He'll be in Mark Phillips' team.
Moving on to our waiver section. But before that, I'm just going to go over some teams that are hot and some that are cold. We talked about this previously, but we'll just reiterate it. I think City are a hot team. I know that's very easy to say, but after Arsenal and Liverpool in game week 30 and 31, they play Palace, Luton, Spurs, Forest, Wolves, Fulham, West Ham. And I expect them to win every one of those games and keep a good few clean sheets.
Except for the Spurs game. Spurs are City's bogey team, man.
Yeah, they actually are. That's right. So I expect them to score a lot of goals, keep a lot of clean sheets. And if I was looking at one player that I could possibly get over the line, it's Bernardo. I think everyone else is just going to have to give away loads. And it depends. A trade depends on the possible upside. Obviously, we know Haaland's a sick player and will do well. But will you get value for him? Will you have to give away half your team to get Haaland? Will you have to give half your team to get Foden or De Bruyne? I think Bernardo is the only one that's a slight bit of value because he's been going under the radar. And he is one of those players that goes over and back in trades. I wouldn't be looking at defenders because there's too much rotation. And there is a possible goalkeeper that we'll talk about in the waivers. Another team, fairly obvious, that are hot are Liverpool. Because in the next 5-6 games, they play Brighton, Sheffield, United, Palace, Fulham and West Ham. Again, I see them winning all of those games. There are a couple of players that might be in the waiver. The McAllisters or Szoboszlai might be on the waiver. McAllister penalty, that won't continue. Salah will be back on the pitch. But by all accounts, Jack Maloney was impressed with McAllister's positioning over the weekend.
I think I was watching McAllister a bit more because at the start of the season, when he first started playing games at Liverpool, I was like, how did they spend this money on this player?
Yeah, he's not up to it.
He's not the same player, but he was playing in like a CDM role. He was getting the ball off the centre halves and turning, and he was just getting caught. He was losing the ball straight away. But in more recent times, he has been playing more forward, kind of like an attacking midfielder with Szoboszlai there as well. Szoboszlai playing more of a number 8 role, giving McAllister that freedom to play that little bit more up top.
And he has been returning well.
Yeah.
Got a couple of assists in his last game. Goal and 10-pointer in game week 28. So yeah, I've been in the exact same boat as you, Jack. I thought he's just not going to be an FPL pick this season. The likes of him and Rice have been proving us wrong. Douglas Luiz all season. So just because he's positioning usually was a CDM doesn't mean that he's not a decent value trade or pickup, mainly waiver pickup. Szoboszlai is kind of in the same boat. Both of them are low level. Nice way into that Liverpool team for a team that will probably go on and be solid for the rest of the season. If we are looking at players that are available for trades, Bradley, I think, is going to stay there right back for the season. Even if Trent comes back, I think there's a possibility of Trent maybe moving into midfield. And I know we've talked about him a good bit, but Luis Diaz, left wing, I think, although he hasn't been returning, he's been racking up some good XG. And over the next 6 games, I expect him to get 2 or 3 returns. And yeah,
very unlucky not to score against City. Probably Liverpool's more biggest threat.
Yeah,
was Diaz.
And he's been like that the last 2 games, so yeah, he's just been unlucky. I think
got 1-on-1 with the keeper as well, and it was very wet conditions, slipped and ballooned it over the bar. But on another dry day, there's no rain in Colombia.
There's snow though. Luis Diaz, and because he hasn't been returning, going under the radar, I would love him in my team for the rest of the season. And Forrest, we'll talk about Forrest on the waivers. Fantastic run of fixtures, very waiverable players. And yeah, bit of rotation might also lead to a couple of trades. The one team I have down is cold, are Brighton. Just too much rotation. We've seen it all season, trying to predict who's going to come next, and we cannot do it. Pascal Gross is the only consistent player, and he's a consistent returner as well. They have tough fixtures, and the rotation is not in their favour. I would kind of give up currently on the Fatties and Cissos. They might be good picks in spurts, but I just find it too hard to predict who's going to play, who's going to return. And the fact that they've tough fixtures compiled with that rotation just doesn't kind of bode well for making right decisions. Yes, and Cissok could start and bang the next day, but based on everything prior to a game, it's hard to justify picking up any of those Brighton assets. So I would be steering clear of the Brighton assets, and I'd be going hot on Liverpool or City assets.
Does everybody doing the boys dirty in the fancy football? Stop. Like, he knows well what he's doing.
I think he does. On to our waiver section. So we're going to start with goalkeepers as always, and we have a goalkeeper option because of an injury. Ortega should get the next 4 or 5 games. So the only quote about Ederson that I saw was, it doesn't look good. They have Arsenal, Villa, Palace and Luton after the blank game week. So yeah, I think a City keeper, although they have been shaky in the back this year.
Yep.
Having a solid starter is probably the biggest thing. Kyle Walker was the man at the start of the season, but since then, the Akes and Diaz, you just cannot predict it. So Ortega, as someone who could get 4, possibly 5 fixtures, depending on the severity of that injury, is going to be a good pickup.
Yeah, like, he's stepped up before when Ederson's been injured, and he's been good.
Yeah, he is. He's not that much of a drop-off.
No.
Plays with the feet, might get caught, you never know. But yeah, I think if he's on your waiver and you have a poor keeper, I think it's a bit of a no-brainer for a short-term punt. Like the Kelleher's, when they're there for big teams, it's hard to ignore. If we're looking for more of a punt option, Pope could return in the next couple of weeks. So I think the last quote was from the 26th of February, as far as I believe, and it was like, he's working in the gym and on grass. He has a couple of weeks to come back. He's taking it very steady. So that was the guts of 2-3 weeks ago. That to me sounds like another 2 or 3 weeks, which would lead us up into game week 32. With the break and everything, you never know. If you wanted to get Pope on your second choice keeper, if you have a nailed first choice keeper, I don't mind it, because Newcastle's defensive fixtures are decent. It's just the fact that they're not very solid at the back. So Pope might be the instigator for them having another solid backline. So yeah, if you have space on the bench and you want to keep them, you don't have them rotation keepers, I think Pope as a possible early pickup is a decent option.
Yeah, just on the rotation, I think Brighton rotated the keepers again.
They did, yeah. Yeah, they did. Feckin' Brighton. Now, on to our defender section, and we've divided this into short-term and long-term. And the short-term options include players that play in 29, but also have some decent fixtures after 29. So on that question that Phil asked, this kind of answers it, that you kind of can get in players that are good for 29, but also for a couple of fixtures after that. Now, the long-term fixtures, the long-term assets, they're players that actually are already playing in game week 29, but are also good picks from now until the end of the season. So I'm going to start with the short-term picks that are good for 29 and 3 game weeks after. Spurs, although they're not great defensively, although they kept a clean sheet,
yep.
Dragosin should get in there because of Van de Ven's injury. They play Fulham in 29, they play Luton after that, West Ham, and then Forest. So 3 definitely favourable fixtures that you'd be playing a Spurs defender regardless. I'd just be weary about how they are defensively. But when you look at fixtures like that, you cannot ignore it. Now, that's it. That, unfortunately for Spurs, after 32, they have, I think it's 4 extremely tough fixtures. They have Newcastle, Man City, Arsenal,
Liverpool
as well. So unfortunately, the likes of Dragosin or even your Pedro Porros, they're good for the next couple of game weeks, but they will go down in value and the clean sheet likelihood is lower. So, you know, this is kind of that, the point where it's like, okay, they have good fixtures, but I know they come into bad fixtures. So do I keep them for the 4 fixtures and then look somewhere else? Or do I try and trade while their value is high before they get low? I think for the high value Pedro Porros and Adojis, it's kind of, you have to keep them.
Yeah.
I think for the Dragosins and the Romeros, because you can throw them away after 32, they're short-term punts. So I think for the next 4 game weeks, Spurs defenders are decent options. And they play in 29, so you're solving 2 problems at the same time. Other short-term defenders are Fulham. They play in 29, then they play Sheffield, Forest and Newcastle. So you're solving two problems there again. Probably less likely to return just because of the team they play for compared to Spurs. But you have two good options there. Robinson at left back. Nailed down 90-minute man.
Couple of assists this year as well.
Yeah, and Castagne. We've mentioned these before, but now they are very apparent for this week's waivers. So both of them are essentially four game week players, or four, you can get them for four game weeks.
Yeah.
Other short-term defenders are Chelsea. And you could look at them kind of long-term, but there's a couple of fixtures in there that I wouldn't be too confident on. Chelsea come into a nice run of fixtures. They don't play 29, so they're down the list. But they play Burnley, United, Sheffield, Everton in the next four. If you look a bit longer, they play Brighton, Villa, West Ham. They're three tough fixtures in terms of keeping a clean sheet. All of those teams will be looking to get into Europe, so they'll be all guns blazing. And then the last two games are Forest and Bournemouth, but that would be a very long time to keep them. So I'd probably be looking at the four game weeks. If they do well, possibly keep them longer. But you have the likes of Gusto, played very well the last day, got fairly far forward, and Cucurella, who got the start because of Chilwell's injury. De Sassi as a centre-back is more nailed but less attacking, but they're three decent options that you could bring into your team if you're kind of covering a bit longer term and not looking at 29.
Chalobah started,
but there's a possibility Thiago Silva, Colwell's out for a couple of weeks. So I think that De Sassi, more nailed, Gusto probably one of the more nailed ones. Cucurella, if any other left back was fit, I think he'd be touch and go, but currently good option. Two other long term teams, and I'll start with Brentford because they play in 29. Reguilon and Roslev. Reguilon missed, we talked about this earlier on, Reguilon missed the last game week, but should be good for 29. So I think if you have him, keep him. I think if he's there, pick him up. Because although Brentford have some tough fixtures after 29, in 33-37, they play Sheffield, Luton, Everton and Fulham all in a row. And the likes of Reguilon, who looks like a very attacking player at left wing, is going to be a great option going forward. Roslev also playing very well and looks like he's going to nail down a spot at right wing back for Brentford. So you're kind of solving two problems. You're looking a bit longer term, 33-37 and 29. If we're looking at some of the best options, right? I think the Forest boys are a great way to look very long term. Tofolo and Williams. Tofolo left back, you know, he has got rotated somewhat. I think Nico Williams at right wing back, who gets fairly forward, is going to be a great option going forward long term. The only tough teams that I can see from now to the end of the season is Spurs 32, City 35 and Chelsea 37. Apart from that, they play Luton, Palace, Fulham, Wolves, Everton, Sheffield, Burnley. So all of those teams are going to be bottom half or in and around the bottom half. So you pick up one of them Forest defenders, you could have them rotating until the end of the season. So I'd be looking at Tofolo and Williams as game week 29 players, but also investing until nearly game week 38. I know Forest mightn't be the most solid defensively, but both of those have the potential to return in an attacking sense. If we're looking for punts, and I know we've gone through a lot of players here, but it depends what your tactics are. Semedo. Wolves has some very good intermittent fixtures from now to the end of the season. Always gets far forward. They play with wings back, got an assist.
Got an assist the last time.
And they play five games on the FDR from now to the end of the season, but is a yellow card merchant. So if you can't get any player for 29, you're looking longer term. Semedo, decent option. And if we're looking for punts for 29, if you're simply looking for 29 game week players to pick up and get rid of again, Cresswell should start left back again for West Ham, as Emerson has undergone some sort of medical.
When I looked it up, it said it was like a muscle injury. It was like a hamstring injury. It wasn't anything because he had the mask on.
It's kind of like one of them ones, you know, when you see the player with the boot and then you sell him and then he plays that weekend and bang. So I would say that Emerson's going to be out next week as well. So Cresswell at left back could be just one player to add to your team that will probably be on the waiver, because I think this is only his second start this year.
Yeah.
And then our really big punt, Vitinho again, right wing for Burnley, down as a defender. If Burnley do happen to keep a clean sheet He gets the points, but also is in that advanced position where he can actually return. So we have short term in Spurs, and we have short term in Fulham, 29 plus. We have shorter term in Chelsea, don't play in 29. And then we have longer term in Forest and Brentford, who have played 29 and have decent fixtures from now to the end of the season. Now, sticking on defenders, we have looked at teams that you can pick up that you can use as rotation defenders. So from now until the end of the season, if you pick up one of each of these teams' defenders, you have some very, very good fixtures that you can take advantage of. Everton and Palace rotate very, very well. So if you pick up one Everton defender and one Palace defender, and you swap them from now until game week 38, these are your possible options of fixtures. Bournemouth or Forest. Bournemouth. Burnley. Tough one in Liverpool or Chelsea, but that's okay. Forest. Luton. Sheffield. So all of them are going to be in a relegation battle. Bournemouth, Burnley, Luton, Sheffield, Forest. They're the teams you're attacking. So if you have one Everton defender, no matter who it is, as long as they start, and the same with Palace, the likes of Munoz and Mitchell, again, playing very well, unlucky not to get a clean sheet. Munoz with an assist. They would be very, very good holds from now until the end of the season. Ultimately, you could also go for Chelsea and Forest. Not as good, but still rotate nicely. If you pick up one player from Chelsea and one player from Forest, and they play every game from now until the end of the season, you can have Burnley, Fulham, Sheffield, Wolves or Everton, Everton or Brighton, Villa, Sheffield, Forest, Burnley or Bournemouth. So again, attacking them teams that are going to be in relegation, could be relegated, might be playing young teams, so on so forth. So although we're not given specific players, I would be looking at that nearly more so than picking up a player for 29, because you're taking into account now until the end of the season. And long term, for me, is always better, because everyone wants immediate gains, but that might hinder you in the long term. If we move on to our midfielder section, and we are looking again at short term and long term. Short term, we've talked about Iwobi. Next four, Spurs, Sheffield, Forest, Newcastle. I think he's a great asset anyways. He is another 10-pointer last week. So I think he got a 10-pointer against United, a 1-pointer, and then another 10-pointer. I think it's a no-brainer pickup. Puns for 29. Odebert again, fairly advanced for Burnley. If we're looking for 29-plus, kind of solid low-level punts, Murphy for Newcastle might play because of Gordon's injury. Barnes is injured again. So I'd monitor their injuries, and maybe before game week 29-30, we'll know more if Murphy is a good option. But yeah, by all means, because of the way he's playing, he could be in with a shout. Bruno G, another assist the last day. I think he's more of a solid, low-ceiling player, but nailed on. So if you're looking for someone from now to the end of the season with good fixtures, Newcastle, midfielder, Bruno G could be a fantastic option.
Got another assist the last day. Just ticks away.
Ticks away. A nice one that you don't have to worry about. And then, obviously, I have two names down here that we've mentioned again. Paqueta, goal. You know, if he's on the waiver, a lovely pickup from now to the end of the season. And Mbeumo didn't play 28, but they play 29, might be in with a shout. And then there's a break. There's an international break. So Mbeumo, if you didn't pick him up, I presume he was picked up by everyone in the waivers. If not, I would go there.
And they'd change your formation then to suit him, to have Wissa, Mbeumo and Tony as a front three.
Yes, yeah, that's true. That actually might hinder, now that you say that. It might hinder Reguilon, but I suppose we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Now, top midfielders from now until the end of the season, I'm going to go Gibbs-White, because if we look at Forest's fixtures, they're top of the fixture ticker from now until the end of the season. Forest play in 29, they play Luton, then they play Palace, Fulham, Spurs, Wolves, Everton. They have a serious run of fixtures from now until the end of the season. They finish the season with Everton, Man City unfortunately, Sheffield, Chelsea and Burnley. So again, I mentioned it earlier, the only three fixtures that I can see that are really tough in terms of maybe an attacking sense for Forest are Spurs, and even they can be got at, City and Chelsea. And again, Chelsea can be got at.
And they're playing Chelsea at home as well.
At home, there you go. So Gibbs-White looks nailed. Now, I know there was rotation between Forest players. I wouldn't look into that too much. Alanga got the bench in, Awoni got the bench in. That might leave them open for a trade. So if you were looking to get in Alanga, I think now is a good time because he got that bench in. I would not worry about that. I would actually target Alanga because I think he's going to be instrumental in Forest staying up and doing well from now until the end of the season. So, yeah, Gibbs White number one because pens, set pieces, and also nailed. Alanga for that high upside and high ceiling. If we are looking at strikers or strikers in the striker section of game week 29, top of the list is Fofana. Baller, another goal, plays 29. Very good fixtures from now until the end of the season. So, yeah, might still be on the waivers in maybe some lower, smaller leagues. Fofana is an easy pickup even as a third-choice striker. I'd be starting him. I'd love him as a striker. I have the likes of Maupay, who I want to get rid of so bad. So, Fofana, top of the list, has to be. And then Fraser for Wolves got the start last week. And because of Neto's possible injury, looks like he's going to get the start. Now, on that, Cunha is eyeing up a return. So that Fraser pickup might be short term. I think you'll have to wait a couple of weeks in terms of the international break to see how Cunha is progressing. He might be maybe a 2 week punt, but again, Cunha hamstring. If he comes back and he goes again, Fraser is there. Neto injury, Heechan injury, therefore Fraser
are they
is
all hamstring.
I'm nearly sure they're all hamstring. Maybe Cunha might be different, but I know Heechan and Neto are hamstring.
Yeah, and they, like it's a read.
So Fraser might be one of those that is not picked up, that is new. And then for the bin, Edward. Mateta playing very, very well for Palace. I cannot see him getting back in there. Maybe as, you know, cameo appearance. I thought he was going to be a good pickup for the bin. Beto and DCL, I wouldn't try and go predicting and picking them. They're not playing well, either of them. So I wouldn't go out on a limb and say, oh, pick up Beto, he's definitely going to start. Or vice versa for DCL. I think DCL is also at risk of not starting. So there is a couple of them low-level strikers that are unfortunately just not doing the business and not even starting consistently.
Yeah, like even if Beto or DCL is available, they're not even great pickups. Like I said at the start of the season, the quote when Beto was making his first appearance, the Optus Sport commentator talking about Beto was like, oh, he's big, he's strong, you know, he gets his body in the way. It's like, that's not a great way to describe a striker
for a Premier League team. You'd like to think quick, great finisher, all this is like,
yeah,
holds up the ball well, great, but like, come on, you don't need that for a striker. So Fofana, Fraser, two possible pickups this week, and then there's a good few that unfortunately are going to be on your bench, not starting, or for the bin if you can get the likes of Fofana. But hopefully game week 29 goes well and you get that W, even if you only have 4, 5, 6 players. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how those teams fare out and what players actually do well and might get a win for a team that only has a couple of players. As always, we said that we have that competition running on Instagram and on Twitter. Go on, give it a share and hopefully win a jersey of your choice. Hopefully get the W in the draft this week. FPL Draft Joe out.
Boom!
Boom.
Yart, man.